You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Thursday morning. It's October 16th, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or Facebook or YouTube or podcast or website, however you got here, it's really nice of you to start your Thursday morning with us here. I got a question for you. You got that Halloween costume yet? This is your two-week warning. Halloween is 2 weeks from tomorrow, so you got to get going if you want to get ready for that. It's one of several fall-like chores that we can do in the coming days here, because we've definitely made the seasonal transition. Time to get stuff off the deck, or put the pots and everything away. Just all the housework that's got to be done before we jump chock full into fall and start looking for those first snowflakes. Yeah, I know. We're talking about snowflakes already here. It's not unheard of. Again, I still have PTSD about the Halloween blizzard of 1991. Along the way, if you'd like to join us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or, of course, the Civic Media app. You can text us or you can leave a voice note. You can put something in the comment sections on Facebook or YouTube as well. Coming up today, we're going to be talking to Cindy Greening. She's a Chippewa Valley-based organizer, one of many organizers of the many rallies that are going to be held around the state and around the country come Saturday. Millions of Americans are going to be taking time to give their two cents on what it is they think about having a presidential administration that would much rather behave like a monarch than the leader of a democracy. I mean, we have a president, well, a convicted criminal, who again yesterday in the Oval Office, flanked by the Attorney General and the FBI director, called for the prosecution and trial of his political opponents without any crime whatsoever, without saying they committed a crime, they did this, they did that. I want them behind bars, he said. He says in so many words, he wants them investigated and jailed. That's not what we do in this country. We go after people who actually broke the law, like the convicted felon in the Oval Office right now. And when they start using language like that, when they start using language like, you know, their political opponents are domestic terrorists, and that, these are nothing more than paid agitators that are going to be in the streets this weekend, which is insulting to the millions of ordinary folks who just want to express their points of view, it really threatens the health of our democracy overall. And we will talk to Joe Zepecki about that during the course of the day as well. We'll also ask, why would you even jokingly make a reference to ICE about somebody in this day and age? Something that happened at the Brewers-Dodgers game the other night, and we'll get into that story as well. We'll talk to Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets. Chad Holmes will be along. James Kelly will talk about some of the stories that he's following up in the Chippewa Valley. And Parker Olson is producing everything down in Madison, where he's looking at comments on Facebook, like from Roger in Stevens Point, saying, I was thinking of dressing up as Pat Kreitlow for Halloween. Well, good luck with that one.
That's the low effort type of thing that I need for a Halloween costume.
Wait a minute. How do I feel about this? It's a low effort to look like me. Well, first off, you got to get the TV hair or the game show host hair, whatever this is.
Let's be honest, Pat. The difference between you and I is just the years.
Well, there is that, and you're still able to wear shirts like that with horizontal stripes, whereas some of us get to a certain age and heft that it's not in our best interest. So we wear these plaids and patterns and things like that.
I've got a bunch of flannels too, Pat. See, okay. You and I, pretty similar haircuts. Mm-hmm. I might have to dye my hair. That's fine. We have pretty
not similar... as much as you used to. Mine used to be a lot darker than this, but still,
we have pretty similar glasses.
But can you pull off, you know, can you pull off the sarcasm? Can you pull off the passive aggressiveness when you get to a door and go, you know, trick or treat, you can give me candy if you want. I mean, I don't care. I'm old. I got to go take a nap. Are you going to give me candy or not? You know, if you can do that, then yeah, this could work for you.
Okay. Maybe I'll do that because, you know,
I am almost frightened at what I have uncovered here, because if Dr. Lyerly were listening right now and she and a few other people were to take up this challenge,
yeah,
I might have to crawl under a rock by the time I get done hearing everybody's impression of me when this is all said and done. So thanks, Roger, for that. Appreciate it. I needed that like a hole in the head. Anyway, so think about that. I always put next to no effort into a Halloween costume. It's always something really slapped together at the last minute. Yeah. So I appreciate the people that put a lot of thought into it. We're going to talk to Sherita Booker in a few minutes here about events happening around Wisconsin this weekend. And I understand her daughter is very hardcore Halloween, you know, and so we'll ask her about that coming up in just a bit as well. And then, of course, you know, we've got the baseball coming back. We've got it's this afternoon or early this evening, if you want. 4:30, the pregame begins out of Los Angeles, Brewers Dodgers on several Civic media stations as the Brewers try to crawl out of an 0-2 hole. And as we just heard from Mike Clemens in his sports update, we got to get Christian Yelich out of that slump. I mean, it's a bad one. And Pat Murphy was right talking about how they are chasing pitches that they usually have more discipline to not chase. And again, we've had concern about the pitchers all throughout the season because of injuries and things like that. But every so often it's the Brewers hitters who like suddenly just get either amnesia or they get bamboozled or something, and they need to step it up tonight.
It feels a little different this time during exclusively during this season. I'm not talking about previous years, because in previous years, this is exactly how our offense was. But right now it feels like our offense is just not putting balls in play hardly at all.
Right.
And in previous months this year, when the offense had been slumping, it's been like, God, we keep hitting the ball so hard, but we keep hitting it directly at somebody.
At people. And it's happened a few times in these first two games of the series. And don't get me wrong, I mean, batters line out all the time. It just seems like much more than usual, where they just nail the ball, but not into the gap, but instead right into somebody's glove. Like they don't even have to take a step.
No.
And that's just unfortunate. So again, that game is coming up 4:30 for the pregame across the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's see, along with everything else that I mentioned, Cindy Greening about the rallies, Joseph Pecky, Chad Holmes, Sean O'Malley, James Kelly. If you can't stick around for all of this for the next 3 hours, but I wanted you to know about it because you can always pod this program. You can head over to Spotify and follow us that way. And that way on demand, you can catch any guests. You can catch any discussion topics. You can do that at Apple as well, or, you know, wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to have you as a podcast subscriber. You know, we'd love seeing that little number tick up and up and up, but also you can just find us on Facebook or YouTube. Anytime you can watch us live there, but then you can just go back to that post later on and watch it again. And you can stay on top of everything that's happening on this show and others across Civic Media by signing up for Civic Media's daily newsletter, Civic Media Today. Head over to Substack, specifically civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com for that. And then, of course, there's a daily newsletter put out by Up North News, a separate entity from Civic Media. And Ellie has her newsletter out from this morning where, well, first thing out of the gate, she thanks us for another nice chat yesterday and lets the newsletter readers know that they can tune in every Wednesday at 7:07 to hear Ellie talking about the things that go into the newsletter. Among those things today include a story about how a Milwaukee foundation is empowering dreamers on their path to college. And then there's another story about a third generation cranberry grower who sees some industry trending positives despite the challenges that are out there being in agriculture in this day and age around Wisconsin. So again, for all that and more, head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe in the top banner to learn more. All right, as far as what happened at Game 2 at American Family Field, I just have to ask, why would you even jokingly use the phrase call ice unless you're either thoroughly racist or thoroughly stupid? Well, whichever one she is, a Milwaukee woman is out of a job over her less than classy comeback to an annoying Dodgers fan at Tuesday night's game. And he was video. He was heckling fans, though. I guess he himself was heckled initially after Jackson Churchill's leadoff home run. So there was definitely some back and forth, but to the point where in his own annoying way, this woman was just staring at him in a way like you see in all the memes. And I'm sorry, Karen. I know there's a lot of good Karens out there that wouldn't do this, but this is exactly what the stereotype looks like. And most women named Karen aren't dumb enough to say to the guy next to her, "Let's call ice," while the man is clearly taking video of her. She calls him the P word for his choice of beverage because it wasn't manly enough for her. She reports him to security and has him escorted out. Here's a guy in Wisconsin on a business trip from California, decides to go see his favorite team, gets a little annoying, gets kicked out, gets called, you know, names by this Brewers fan, and is, made the point of a joke, I guess, about call ice. So he was having a bad day. Hers got worse because, of course, the video went to social media. Of course, it was seen by all kinds of people. And, of course, she is now out of a job. And she is off the board of a statewide charity. When you can't offer up a comeback that doesn't include some degree of a racial reference or a reference to government intimidation and arrest, could I offer up the following advice? Shut up. I mean, there's so many ways to make a comeback that's related to sports, to about the team. And yeah, if your team is losing, it's frustrating. Parker, we have been to these places. We have been in crowds where we have seen people, you know, misbehave after a few drinks. The Brewers have a whole character designed around him, the two-fisted slopper. That video they used to play at County Stadium. And now there's like retro t-shirts of this guy, you know, this big guy in the t-shirt and the two beers being annoying. We get it. Try to keep race out of it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, and gender. Why are you calling somebody the P word in a big crowd like that?
Yeah.
It's rough when your team's losing, but my goodness. And the guy from California, to his credit, was like, yeah, I was a little annoying. But by the way, all the other Brewers fans, we were going back and forth, but we were great. I had a great time. He said he'd love to come back. Is everybody except her?
Yeah. No, there is a very easy way to tell if somebody's going too far in sports banter, and that's when everyone is having fun.
Just don't. I mean, and especially if you know that there's video there. I mean, you don't have to be trained in TV or radio like us to know, your behavior, whether you like it or not, is
this
always out
bad.
There. As Parker points his phone at me, so I'd better be on my best behavior and hit this commercial break on time. So it's time for me to say, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, we're back now on a Thursday morning. Let's see what we can, what kind of trouble can we get in this weekend? You know, the good kind, where you get in the car, put the family in, and head someplace. If you're in the Milwaukee area, we'll start our list there, because down in the Milwaukee area is our friend Sharita Booker, social media manager here at Up North News. Sharita, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Are you a Halloween person? We're about to talk about Boo at the Zoo.
I love Halloween. It's like one of my favorite holidays. And I just love to like spend the month of October watching like a bunch of scary movies.
Really?
Okay. Yes.
Both of my girls, I call them girls, they're in their mid-30s now. Both my girls were born in the days running up to Halloween, you know, in the last week of October, a couple of years apart. And so, yeah, Halloween has always been a big fun holiday for them as well. They cannot believe they have a dad who is not as big a Halloween fan, but you know, my birthday's by the 4th of July. What are you going to do? So yeah. Let's come back to the Halloween lovers who want to go to Boo at the Zoo. And it's this weekend and next weekend. Tell us more.
Yep. I was just going to say that it's Friday through Sunday from 5:30 to 9 p.m. And this is a family fun event where you'll find a trick-or-treat trail through Adventure Africa, the Harvest Haystack Maze, the Gourd Gallery with hundreds of carved pumpkins, tons of light displays, and you can even stop by Mad Science of Milwaukee for some Halloween experiments. Kids are encouraged to wear their costume. Parents, if you want to wear one too, feel free. Most of the indoor animal buildings will be open, so you can visit the big cats, reptiles, etc. And if you can't make it this weekend, like Pat said, for the first time ever, they're actually doing it next week, or the following weekend. So it's a double weekend. So if you want to get down there, take your kids and head to Milwaukee and get your tickets at milwaukeezoo.org.
That, of course, is the Milwaukee County Zoo, milwaukeezoo.org. Do you think they're taking their cue from Summerfest, which moved to a, you know, 3-weekend deal, that maybe now they're like, well, let's do a couple of different weekends of this. Maybe that'll get the crowds up, and I'll bet it would work too.
Yeah, why not? And like, I think there's several times where there's something I missed one weekend, but I'm like, if they do it again, I'll definitely go that time. So give people more opportunities here.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great idea. All right, let's head all the way up to Sister Bay now. Again, so many fall festivals going on, and we'll talk about some of the others, over the course of the today and tomorrow. But let's talk about the one in Sister Bay going on this weekend.
Yep, that Fall Fest kicks off tomorrow and runs through Sunday. It's a weekend full of family fun with live music from local favorites like the Cougars, the Glam Band, Seth Brown Band, the Deep End, and more. You'll find plenty of great food from fish boils and barbecue to loaded mac and cheese and chili, cheese curds, and other Door County favorites. There'll also be over 100 vendors at the Arts and Crafts Fair, plus a kids' carnival with bouncy houses, pumpkin bowling, and a Ferris wheel. The Fall Fest parade kicks off Saturday morning at 11, and the fun wraps up Sunday with the derby race and the kids' ping pong drop. For more information about that, visit sisterbay.com.
Have you ever been to a fish boil?
No, I've heard about them. We've posted about that on a before.
Yeah. So. And I never have. And I frankly didn't know much about it until that season of Top Chef that was done in Milwaukee. And then they recreated a Door County fish boil. So I'm rather intrigued. And so naturally that's part of what's happening in Sister Bay this weekend that folks can take part in. Now let's go over to another corner of the state up near the Minnesota border to Osceola and Dresser, where you can go on a little train ride.
Yep, and that's the Pumpkin Express, and it's leaving the station in Osceola starting tomorrow and is heading to the Dresser Junction Depot and Pumpkin Patch. This will be taking place all weekend, so when you arrive at the Pumpkin Patch, kids can pick out their very own pumpkin and the whole family can enjoy live music, games, hay rides, face painting, bouncy houses, food trucks, and a little flea market. Your ticket includes the round-trip ride, all-day admission to the festival at the Pumpkin Patch, and a free pumpkin for every kid. Just make sure to arrive at the Osceola Depot about 30 minutes before your scheduled trip to check in and pick up your boarding passes. Adult tickets are $35, kids ages 6 to 17 are $29, and kids ages 3 to 5 are $20. Or you can get a family of 4 bundle for $120. And if you want to get your tickets ahead of time, you can go to trainride.org.
trainride.org. It's going to be gorgeous, I bet, with the leaves changing colors, and nothing better than a train ride. This is an eight mile track. And if you're not familiar with Osceola, if you know Hudson on I-94 at the Minnesota border, it is about 30 miles north of there. So definitely something worth checking out. Are you doing anything this weekend to like prep for Halloween? Like I am, I'm eating the first bag of candy and then going and purchasing a new one.
Funny you ask. Tomorrow is my daughter's school's Monster Mash. They have it every year, and she's so excited for it. So I had to make sure, like, I had to get her Georgie costume from it, and I had to make sure I expressed that overnight because we waited till the last minute, and I forgot about the dance. So it's all here and ready.
Your daughter wants to be Georgie from it?
She wants to be Georgie from it, and her best friend is going to be it. So they got a little carrot costume.
That's so Halloween-y.
It is.
That is crazy. No princess costumes here.
No, my daughter does not do any princess costumes. It's like zombie stuff, witches. Last year she was Freddy Krueger. Like, she wants to be scary.
That is so embracing the season. That is awesome. Sharita Booker tells us about these events. And then, of course, she posts all kinds of things on our social media feeds. And, of course, just search for Up North News WI on whichever social media platform you prefer. Sharita, thank you very much. Have a great start to the weekend.
You too, Pat.
And I really have to compliment Sharita's daughter for that commitment to Halloween. I mean, others want to go with the funny stuff or the princess stuff or whatever. She's like, no, it's Halloween.
Yeah.
She's going to be the scary creatures all the time.
That's the point.
Right. By the way, Sharita mentioned one of the activities that involves trains. There's actually a couple of others going on this weekend as well. The Great Pumpkin Train is at the National Railroad Museum in Green Bay on Saturday. The Mid-Continent Railway Museum Pumpkin Special runs in North Freedom on Saturday and Sunday. There's also Pumpkin Palooza in downtown New London on Saturday afternoon. Green Lake has their Oktoberfest. Elkhorn Oktoberfest is on Saturday. And Prairie du Chien's Oktoberfest is happening from now through Saturday. TravelWisconsin.com has a lot of these events and more. All right, today's history lesson is coming up next, including the song Disco Duck and its place in pop music chart history. That's all on the way. I'm Pat Kreitlow, live from the lake. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We are going to kick off today's history lesson with a little Stevie Wonder, because his landmark LP, Songs in the Key of Life, was number one on the album chart this day in 1976. Wow, 49 years ago this week, Songs in the Key of Life. Get it if it's not in your collection already. On this day in 1793, Queen Marie Antoinette was executed. I don't know, is it apocryphal? Did she actually say, let them eat cake?
No, I'm pretty sure that's made up. Okay. I don't know what the origin of that is, though.
That's a good question. You know, and again, keep in mind, it's the French Revolution. There was a big upswell, you know, groundswell against the upper crust, you know, who kind of looked down their noses at the rest of the people. You know, they are there up there on their golden toilets and their skyscrapers. And, oh, wait, I got my family's picked up. Anyway, that's
it was exactly like Les Mis.
Exactly. On this day in 1916, Margaret Sanger opened up the first family planning clinic in the U.S. On this day in 1978, it was a landmark day for Roman Catholics around the world when Cardinal Karol Wojtyla of Poland was elected and took the name Pope John Paul II. It made him the first non-Italian pontiff since 1523. On this day back in 1978.
400-year drought. That's not too bad. That's almost...
that's like Cubs fans. I can relate to that. You know?
You know, exactly. I saw an incredible stat the other day about how many wins Notre Dame gets in the year that a Pope dies.
That's a obscure stat.
It's incredibly obscure. Four of the last five times that a Pope has died during a year, Notre Dame has had 9 wins.
Who even thinks to go looking for that? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, I learned something today. All right. Now you're all about to learn something about novelty songs, because the number one song, we just told you that Stevie Wonder had the number one album this day in 1976. The number one single was by a disc jockey by the name of Rick Dees.
Disco, disco,
see Parker bouncing along with this.
This is
awesome. Got a good beat. You can get into it.
Got
so, nice. Yeah, a goofy little number that envisions Donald Duck enjoying the spoils of the disco era. And it is noteworthy because it is the last novelty song to hit number one in the country, which might tell you something about the taste of Americans back in 1976. But I would argue that, in fact, there have only been four novelty songs since that time, since Disco Duck. Only four novelty songs to even get into the top 10. They were Short People by Randy Newman. That got to number two the next year, 1977. Remember Barbie Girl from 1997?
In a Barbie World.
That went in a Barbie World. That went to number seven on the charts in 1997. Weird Al Yankovic's White and Nerdy from 2006 got to number nine on the charts. And I can't, what does the fox say? Some novelty songs are like, I don't even know how, who got the idea to release this? But What Does the Fox Say got to be the number six song in the country back in 2013.
Pat, it really bothers me how much of a landmark What Does the Fox Say is in like the time that I was in school.
And that's what you have. That's your one thing in the area of novelty songs that charted. You know, I'm looking at the long history of novelty songs, and when it, you know, things like Monster Mash, you know, that's something that you play every Halloween.
Yep.
It was a number one record back in around this time in 1962. You know, there's the Surfin' Bird, there's King of the Road, I'm Henry the Eighth, Johnny Cash Is a Boy Named Sue, that counts as a novelty song. There was Jerry Reed's When You're Hot, You're Hot. Jim Stafford had Spiders and Snakes. Ray Stevens had The Streak. And you just don't see that much anymore. And I don't know if it's because you can do funny things with music on social media. You can make a funny TikTok or something.
Yeah.
Or is it that radio stations have become so corporatized that they don't want to take a chance and play a novelty song? Because there's also the very real possibility somebody will be offended by that disco song. Hey, I like ducks. I'm offended that that duck might be doing disco numbers. It could be
just
that.
Just because disco is famously incredibly divisive.
Yes. There's Convoy by C.W. McCall, all about the truckers and their CB radios. Larry Gross had Junk Food Junkie. That was a funny one in the 70s about the health food trends that are out there. So songwriters, let's step it up a bit. Let's get on the funny, okay?
It makes me a little sad that Business Time isn't in this. Have you ever heard Business Time by
Flight of the Conchords?
Yeah.
It could be there. Is part of it a little too suggestive? Now that you mention it, Flight of the Conchords, yes, I'm a little surprised their stuff didn't really chart.
Yeah.
Because again, not everybody's heard of them. And if you haven't, Flight of the Conchords, and Conchords is C-O-N-C-H-O-R-D, right? And it's a funny little parody show, parody songs, whatever you want to call it. And worth a watch. A little cringy at times, but funny stuff. You know?
You know how I heard that song for the first time, Pat?
How?
I went to a concert that one of my professors was doing.
Oh, my.
And he performed it. It was very funny.
Oh my! I was just looking up the lyrics. Is that the one with the team building exercise 99 T-shirt that's on there? It's a little. You know what? It's kind of Austin Powersy. It almost maybe felt like an Austin Powers ripoff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
like, yeah, baby. You know. But anyway, definitely worth a listen if you're not familiar with it. Back to the history lesson. Happy birthday to Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, who is 63 today. So he was born Michael Balzeri in Melbourne, Australia, or Michael B. His nickname was originally Mike B. the Flea from his manic energy, as he's always jumping around.
Yeah.
And how long does that last? You know, that you're just all the time jumping around. At one point, you go
until his knees start to hurt.
Yeah, something like that. So I don't know how Flea's knees are feeling this day, but he is 63 years old today. Fred Turner, the vocalist and bassist for Bachman Turner Overdrive. Fred Turner is 82 years old today. Bob Weir, founding member of the Grateful Dead. He is 78 years old today. And this is the anniversary of the birth of actress Suzanne Summers from Three's Company back in the day. She was born in 1946. She passed away 2 years ago, one day before her 77th birthday. Talking about Bob Weir and the Grateful Dead, we now have to talk about, and I still cannot believe I'm making this, connecting these dots. We're talking about the Grateful Dead. Let's talk about John Mayer, who is 48 years old today. This doesn't sound like Grateful Dead at all, does it? So my question is, once John Mayer got involved with the Grateful Dead and is basically, you know, a regular part of the group now, does he stop performing his top 40 hits, or is he like the opening act for himself? Does he come out and do some of the, you know, the boppy little numbers and then does Truckin' and other things by the Dead?
I don't know. That's a really good point. I had never thought of that.
Well, I don't know why I've never thought to ask Dan Schumacher, resident Grateful Dead expert.
That's a good point.
You know, yeah, he would know if anybody would. On this day in 1972, the group Creedence Clearwater Revival called it quits, announcing in a press release, "We don't regard this as breaking up. We look at it as an expansion of our activities." Well, that's certainly one way to look at it,
I guess.
But the band never did get back together, and John Fogerty, of course, emerged with a successful solo career all on his own. And on this day in 2012, Darius Rucker was inducted into the Grand Ole Opry, becoming just the third Black American to join the club, following DeFord Bailey, a founding member and harmonica player back in 1925, and singer Charlie Pride in 1993. Oh, by the way, in terms of talking about Creedence Clearwater Revival breaking up and saying we just don't feel like doing it anymore, that's my reminder that we're going to talk about Billy Joel tomorrow in the history segment. There's going to be a lot of Billy Joel talk tomorrow, because now that I've seen the 5-hour documentary that Greg Bach was adamant that I go see, that I see, and Greg Bach will be here tomorrow. So you're just going to listen to two old rock and rollers talking about Billy Joel. And we're going to talk about a lot about his music and his eventual decision to say, you know what, I'm done. The tank is empty. I've got no more songs to write. And that's got to be almost liberating to get to that point and go, you know what? I'm done. I've made enough money. Especially in his case, he had to make all of his money back after a previous manager ripped it all off. He had to go make the money all over again.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
nice. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know that it's really common that musicians don't own their music.
They don't. He signed a bad deal the first time when he was very young. He didn't own any of the publishing rights or anything. And then he got ripped off when he got to be really wealthy and did not pay attention to where the money was going until it was nearly gone. So, yeah, we'll talk a lot about that tomorrow when Greg Bach is here. What do we have on the National Day calendar today?
Tis National Bosses Day, which is very unfortunate that Luke Mathers isn't here.
I was going to say, if the handsome and capable Luke Mathers were only here.
Yeah,
so.
Real bummer. I guess he's taking the day.
Well, and he's deserved that day.
Oh,
because
God, yes.
He is handsome and capable.
Yes.
And we hope that he'll come back safely and play with us on the radio some
more. Possibly more handsome.
What else do we have for... Do you have any bosses that, for National Bosses Day, past bosses, I mean, that you actually would get them a little something because they were such a good boss, or... Do you remember a particular bad boss more than anything else? Or maybe you just haven't had enough bosses yet.
I haven't had enough bosses. I will qualify my advisor, faculty advisor at the student newspaper in Whitewater. I will qualify him as a boss. He was good. I would get him something. I haven't seen him in a while.
I know I've had a bad boss or two, but I've really just kind of put them in the rearview mirror and then I snap the mirror off. So you just kind of move on from there. What else on the calendar today?
We have also got National Veterans Barbecue Day. So if you're a veteran, I guess you're supposed to barbecue today, or maybe we're supposed to make you barbecue. I don't really know how this works.
Was there not an explanation given next to this, or?
Nah.
Okay. Well, it's National Veterans Barbecue Day. Take it in one way or another. Any others?
It is Global Cat Day. Also, National Feral Cat Day.
And do you know why today is National Feral Cat Day? Because it's our reminder that all cats should be feral. That's Pat Kreitlow's opinion.
Oh.
Is what are they doing in your house? They're destroying things. They're making your visitors get itchy and sneezy when they all actually just want to be outside. And they'll come up to the deck, to the back door, the front door now and then for a little saucer of milk.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a little. But don't be putting cat food out for them. I mean, there's still mice out there in the world, you know, and all kinds of other critters that they can get. So today should be National Cat Liberation Day is really what they meant. When they say today is National Feral Cat Day, it's open the door, set them free.
I didn't know you're so anti-domestic cat.
I'm not anti-domestic cat. They're just like I'm channeling their voices to all of you out there saying, let us free, let us out. Maybe.
Pat Kreitlow, speaker of cats.
All right, speaking just for myself on there. Cindy Greeny, who's helping organize the No Kings protest this weekend, is coming up in our next hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Other details now from the National Day calendar. National Veterans Barbecue Day is a holiday meant for celebrating our local veterans in a pleasant, friendly way by cooking them some barbecue or taking them out for a barbecued meal.
Okay.
So there you go.
So treat your veterans to barbecue.
Yes. Steakhouses also participate by treating veterans and those still in service with complimentary meals. Oh, so there you go. Awesome. Cook for a veteran would be just fine, but invite one over. I would be a little hesitant too, because whoever that veteran is would no doubt watch me, you know, barbecue and go, "You're doing that wrong. Here, let me just step aside. I got this."
Not good at barbecue, huh, Pat?
No, I think I'm just fine, but Oh, Dad. Okay. Anyway, what do we got in entertainment news today?
Entertainment news. We've actually got a couple of baseball related things here. The Pfister Hotel in Milwaukee is famously a little haunted.
It's famously allegedly a little haunted.
Okay. The Dodgers were staying there, I think, which is pretty normal. I think most teams stay at the Pfister when they visit the Brewers.
All visiting teams do, because it's a lovely old hotel.
It's great. I've never stayed in it, but I've been it a couple times.
I have, and it's lovely, but it's got this reputation.
It's allegedly haunted, and Teosco Hernandez and his wife switched hotels because they were hearing footsteps and apparently lights were going on and off.
Oh gosh.
That's their words. I don't know. Okay. But right. The guy from Ghost Adventures, Zach, is it Bangans? I don't know how to say his name. He says that he can come and get rid of the ghosts, and it's no laughing matter, Pat. He advises players not to communicate with the spirits because it can do more harm than good.
Oh boy. Okay. All right. Well, far be it from me to judge whether somebody believes they've been exposed to the paranormal, except for the whole notion of there's no such thing as the paranormal. But other than that, you know, who am I to judge? Because if you leave the Pfister, well, that's one more room that's available for me the next time I go down to Milwaukee or something like that, because it's a lovely place.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. What else we got?
Baseball related, and also Pope related, actually, going back to earlier. Somebody yelled "Go Cubs" at Pope Leo, who is famously a White Sox fan. and he yelled back, "They lost."
Oh my gosh. So why are you trolling the Pope? Holy cow, as Harry Carey would say. Look, Cubs fans, or frankly, just hey, Americans. He's the Pope. He's not, you don't yell "Go Cubs" or something like that to him. Where's the reverence for somebody like that?
Yeah.
Honestly, God, you're making me feel like such a cranky old man now, but who yells "Go Cubs" at the Pope? Settle down. All right. Well, anyway, he had a good comeback with they lost. Oh, so yeah. good on Leo. That's
good,
fine.
Good job from Da Pope.
Yep. Okay. What else?
We've also got Kevin Federlein is accusing Britney Spears in a new book that he's got coming out, I believe, next week.
Kevin Federline, yes. Britney Spears' ex-husband from way back when,
yes.
has a book coming out.
Yes.
Is it just simply a book saying, hey, you probably forgot about me. My name's Kevin Federline. I mean, what else has he got to say?
The book
apparently he's got juicy stuff.
The book is titled You Thought You Knew. And it is making some like kind of scary accusations about Britney Spears' behavior. Including standing outside their son's door at night holding a knife. So,
Ooh. Yeah,
it's another episode to the Britney Spears mental health saga.
I believe, and I can say this as an expert because I watch TMZ a lot of the time, I believe she is still estranged from her two sons and, yes, has a long history of erratic, troubling behavior. Now, there is very much a case to be made that her conservatorship was extreme and needed to be modified, but it was lifted more or less. And since then, she has occasionally engaged in things that were, again, would be very troubling if you were somebody in her family, you know, that cared about her health and her well-being. For Kevin Federlein to be putting this into a book, just kind of smacks of, I've run out of what little money I had being a backup dancer or whatever it was that Kevin Federlein.
I believe so, for Timberlake, I think.
And now feels the need to put this out. But I'm also well aware that Britney Spears has her fans that, you know, like Beyonce and Swifties. I mean, you go after, you know, their favorite, and they're all coming after you. So yeah. Kevin Federline's in for a world of social media hurt, if nothing else, because, you know, Britney still has her fans out there. But hey, if you made money off the book, I guess go for it, right?
Sure. Yeah.
I asked this in all honesty, who's buying that book? Besides, you know, like entertainment reporters.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I really don't know. Britney Spears has come out and said that he's gaslighting and it's extremely hurtful what he's doing by releasing this stuff. So, Yeah.
Well, all right. Sounds good. Coming up an hour from now in this segment, we'll be talking to James Kelly from Civic Media's newsroom in Chippewa Falls about some of the stories that he's covering. And we've got a bit of a Chippewa Valley focus coming up in our next hour when we talk to Cindy Greening. Now, we've heard from Cindy before in reports from Selena Heller about the first round of No Kings rallies back in June. And, you know, she had a lot of great things to say about the diversity in the crowd. It wasn't just a whole bunch of, you know, liberals. There was a lot of moderates. There were some Republicans in there who feel politically homeless with the current cabal that is running things in the grand old party. And I don't doubt that Cindy is expecting a much broader turnout with even more people who are greatly concerned about this country. People who would like me, they'd like the old Republican Party to come back again. Because there are all kinds of things, debates to be had about governing, but not about labeling your opponents as domestic terrorists. So we'll talk all about that in the next hour of these mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.